Okay, Hebrews chapter 13 on a Saturday morning. Okay, let brotherly love continue. And the Apostle Paul continues his thought here from the previous chapter, whereas he, just before he says this, he says, God is a consuming fire. Well, the Apostle Paul is making, of course, a comparison distinction here, okay, regarding not only the purging and the wrath of God, but also concerning our responsibility, okay, to carry a tradition of long-suffering. Okay, God is God's responsibility of wrath. Okay, that's not a responsibility, because we're incapable, okay, of having the in-depth insights, the infallible insight, as God does, okay, in order to exercise our wrath. Okay, so he says, let brotherly love continue. All right, and he goes on, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Yeah, or as don't neglect, okay, to feed your holy guests, okay, with that knowledge of God, the holy bread. Well, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, and this is your brotherly love, for thereby some have entertained angels, even as Moses did, or Jacob. Remember, Jacob entertained angels, Gideon entertained angels, apostles entertained angels. Okay, unawares. That means that not knowing their sanctification, unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as the Apostle Paul is bearing to their attention here, is concerning the tethering. Remember them that are in bonds, being as all of us are bond and bound to Christ, as bound with them, okay? And we're bound together in this priesthood. And we're bound together in this priesthood, as bound with them, okay? And them which suffer adversity, the VHP, okay? The VHP factor, vulnerability, humiliation, and pain. Okay? Which, of course, is part of the plundering process of the aspirations. Okay, the VHP factor is also a part of the plundering process of the aspiration. Now, we can see that in Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, Paul talks about the same thing. It's concerning, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Okay? It took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. And that doesn't mean the physical substance, okay, but also is concerning, okay, the plundering of the aspiration. Okay, and the Spirit of the Lord plunders the aspiration through his chastening. Okay, and that's where he goes on, despise not the chastening of the Lord. And we see that in chapter 12. Okay, and verse 5, where he says, you have not yet resisted our blood. Okay, that is the smiting of the moral code, okay, which was added on that first covenant, striving against sin, even as the Lamb of God. And you've forgotten the exhortation that speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not you the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you rebuke of him. So in chapter 10, he says the same thing here. Okay, but call to remembrance, and that's verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated. Okay, which again he's expounding or expanding upon that which he brought out in chapter 6 about the word illuminated. And that's around verse 5. Okay, from his apostle, those who were once enlightened, we see that in verse 4. Enlightened, chapter 6, verse 4. Illuminated, okay, and chapter 12. Okay, as concerning the illumination, or chapter 12, or chapter 10. Jumping around so much here. Okay, and chapter 10, illuminated, chapter 10, 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you illuminated, chapter 6, verse 4, enlightened. Okay, you endured a great fight of afflictions, and that has to do with the concerning settling of the conscience. Okay, the great fight of afflictions has to do with the settling of the conscience, okay, which is always in a state of disruption, but that's why the peace of God is accompanying you. Okay, he's in a state of disruption because of the flesh. Okay, we're in a body of flesh. Okay, we're living in a kingdom of severe darkness. Okay, Satan, being the god of this world, okay, is continually afflicting us. Okay, by presenting us through the imagination. Okay, projecting all of the aspirations that we can follow. Okay, that afflicts us. That afflicts us. Satan continually projects the options. Okay, which is very afflictive to the soul. See, this is what you could be. This is what you could be. This could be. It could be this. It could be this. It could be this. It could be that. Okay, and we say yes, 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 but then in reality we know it's not real. In reality we know it's not real. Not in this kingdom of darkness. It's like trying to convince people that are in hell that they're going to have peace down there. Okay? And of course, we know that's not real. Because okay? Hell was not designed for peace. It was designed for torment, wasn't it? Okay? And same thing within this dimension of the flesh. Satan keeps promising, okay, completion by the aspiration. But God said, but I did not create the dimension for that. I created that dimension for testing of my faith, of your faith and my love towards you. Okay? So we fall victim, okay, to those projections all the time. Okay, we fall victim to that. So Paul talks about that plundering, and then he also brings about this concerning our responsibility of charity. But call to remembrance of former days, now chapter 10 again, and then, because I talk about the plundering. After you illuminated, okay, the grace of God, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Okay? And that's what we're doing right now. We're enduring. Okay, we're enduring. Okay? But yet the peace of God is accompanying us. Okay. Whiles you are made, partly whiles you made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. That's one portion. And partly so we became companions in them were so used. That's the other portion. You had compassion to me in my bonds, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, the plundering of the aspirations, knowing in yourselves, okay, the power of tokens of our faith. That you have in heaven in a better and enduring substance. So don't cast away, therefore, your confidence. And now, don't cast away your confidence. The tokens of our faith. Okay, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. Okay, not to cast those things away. These are tools of your confidence. So he talks about in chapter 13, let brotherly love continue. So don't be forgetful to entertain strangers. Okay, with this knowledge, even as our father Abraham showed us. Okay, Abraham, Jacob, and Moses, and the apostles. Remember them that our bonds is bound with them, and then we suffer adversity. So we talked about the BHP factor there. Vulnerability, humiliation, and pain. Okay, because all the projections of the aspirations. As being yourselves also in the body. Okay, and as a house of God. Okay, not necessarily that just the flesh itself, but being the house of God. Okay, all those that come in the house of God, okay, are afflicted with these things. Okay, okay, those which are in the kingdom of darkness, they're also afflicted. They don't have the presence of mind to see that. Okay, so it seems like their consolation has to do with the promise of the aspiration, but that's not the peace of God. Okay, and Jesus also made those distinctions, right? My peace I give you, not as the world gives. Well, what is the world giving? Okay, a consolation prize of nothing. Okay, but a promise that one of these days it could be there, but it won't be. Okay, that's a consolation prize. That's false peace. Okay, so we look at the world, okay, in amazement. Okay, it says, how can you possibly want the things of the world? And he says, because I have peace. Okay, or you know, it's a promise or something they think the promise is a substance, but it's not. Okay, the substance has to do with reality, the results. Okay, and that comes by the power of God. Okay, it's just that because of the power of God within us, okay, we have a presence of mind to see the contrast, and we suffer the affliction. See, we have presence of mind. That means we're awake and we're aware. Okay, a person that falls asleep underneath the sun is not aware that they're baking to death. Okay, but when we wake up, we start saying, "Ouch!" You know, when you look in the mirror and you see you're all red, right? Okay, we have awakened by the grace of God, and we see that, you know, we've been baking, so we immediately start putting these ointments on, okay, in order to try to, you know, more or less bring the balm of healing there. Okay, and that's we have awakened from the dead. Okay. God, by the grace of God, we come out of that trance, okay, that we're able to see our condition. So we have an awareness. The world doesn't have that awareness yet. Okay, they're there in their dream world. Okay, not realizing that, you know, that death is pretty imminent. Yeah. Okay, on that. Okay, so we see a bonding here. Okay, because we have been seeking the Lord. Okay, we also have been joined to Him. So he goes on here, verse 4, marriage is honorable and all. See, that's the bonding. The union of the Spirit. Okay, now that we have been awakened, we have, the Spirit Lord has made us aware, Okay, the aware of our condition. So marriage is honorable in all. God has assigned this title. Okay, a title of honorable. Okay. Marriage is honorable in all and have been undefiled. Okay, which is, the bed has to do with the altars. Put the word altar over the word bed there. Okay, the altar is now undefiled because of the state of conscience. Okay, and our union with him, okay, is absent of the aspiration, but is full of grace. Okay, being absent of the aspiration and being full of grace is undefiled. Okay, and God honors that. Okay, that's what he sanctifies. Okay, because we're doing what it says in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Okay, don't drop the baton. Okay, this is your fiery priesthood, because our God is a consuming fire. Okay, and God is a consuming fire. This is our fiery priesthood of charity. Okay, because we are also, by faith in Jesus Christ, we are also spiritual tokens of his kingdom, because we carry the testimony of Christ within us. We're also as spiritual tokens. So marriage is honorable and all and have been undefiled, being the altar and the state of the conscience. Now we know that these things have been accepted. Okay, but now he gives the contrary. Okay, the lawless ones. They're called the whoremongers and adulterers, the lawless ones. Because they're not building with God. Okay, they're living, they're running to the altar of Christ for the aspiration, and that's what Joab did that. He ran to the altar with the aspiration. And when he ran to the altar of the aspiration, he was killed. Okay, Uzziah did the same thing. Okay, that's where the Uzziah, which is of Judah, he also thought that he can intrude within the temple and or approach the altar. Okay, and so that the Levites warned him, Uzziah, you cannot approach the altar. Okay, only the Levites can do that. But you know, Uzziah, in his pride, okay, approached the altar, and then the Lord struck him with leprosy. Okay, so anyone that approaches the altar, okay, out of the aspiration, be struck with leprosy and be considered as unclean. Okay, he calls those whoremongers. Okay, whoremongers, they're spreading their knowledge everywhere. Okay, but the knowledge that they're spreading is not the seed of God. Okay, it's not building. So they're called whoremongers and adulterers. God will judge. Okay, he'll judge them as unclean priests. As unclean priests. Okay. So because he's going to judge him as unclean priest, the Apostle Paul says here in verse 5, okay, we have to keep our conversation or our activity, okay, above reproach, which has to do with sanctification, okay, above reproach, okay, in Hebrews 13. So let your conversation be without covetousness. Okay, there gives a contrast right there. You can't approach the altar of the aspiration, okay, nor speak by the aspiration, okay, at this altar. So your activity, okay, has to be, I'm thinking those things which are above, okay, as spiritual sacrifices, thinking on those things which are above, not beneath. Okay, so let your conversation be without covetousness, okay, and apart from filthy lucre, okay, which has to do with the aspiration, okay, which we brought out earlier about the aspiration. Okay, we are suffering the plundering of our souls because we're putting to death the aspiration, the voice of the aspiration, which is very loud in this dimension. Okay, it was very loud for Adam when he was in the Garden of Paradise. Okay, the aspiration, it was loud in a time of light in paradise. You can imagine what it would be, how loud it is in a kingdom of darkness. It's very loud. Okay, and we saw that in like a movie last night called Wall Street. Okay, the voice of the aspiration was very loud, and it was so loud that it blinded this young man concerning the realities. Concerning the realities of that. Okay. So let your conversation be without covetousness. Okay, crucifying the aspiration, crucifying the principle. Okay, putting to death the old man, okay, which constantly cries out for fulfillment and completion. Okay, and be content. The word content is the opposite of being agitated. Okay, being agitated for the bigger and the better. Okay, the agitation has to do with the bigger and the better. Okay, but be content with such things as you have. Okay, the very opposite, okay, of the purpose-driven life. Okay, very opposite. The purpose-driven life is that you're directing the agitation with the aspiration. Okay, living in expectation of the promise of that seducing spirit. Okay, And there is no fulfillment within that except for the signature. Okay, and God does that. Okay, the fulfillment of the signature, God does that. But there's no life in that. Okay, it's just the fulfillment of the signature. This is what Solomon brings out in Ecclesiastes. Okay, therefore he says, eat and drink, okay, and be satisfied. Okay, for now God accepts your works. Okay, God accepts your works as concerning the fulfillment of your signature. That's all. Not your faith, just your works. Okay, God accepts us on the conditions of faith. Okay, which of course is superior than the works of the signature. Okay. Let your conversation be about covetousness, verse 5, and be content with the things you have. Okay. and regarding what God has assigned to you. For God said this and promised this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's comforting, isn't it? Okay. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to abandon you. Your feelings may not detect me, okay, but I'm always there. Because a lot of times we want to feel for God by passion. Okay, we want to feel for Him in that manner. But God says, but I am here. Yeah, I'm here. I mean, we're inside of Him, okay, and He is inside of us. Okay, for He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's very much aware, okay, of your person, your infirmities. Okay, He's very much aware of your infirmities. Okay, and that is concerning the state of your being. Now, Paul brings the same thing out again in Hebrews. Okay, and let's see if I can find that quickly here. Okay, as regarding your infirmities, I believe it's in chapter 4. Alright, let's see here. And near the end, about two or three verses next to the end. Yes, okay, 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of infirmities. Okay, He knows the state of our flesh. Okay, He knows the state of our flesh. Okay, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, which means He did not tether Himself to the aspiration. Okay, he also was in a state of infirmity. Okay, being in the form of the flesh. Okay, the weakness of the flesh. Okay, as Paul brings out also in his other epistles. Okay, being found as a fashioned man. He talks about that in Philippians. Okay. And being found in fashion, Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. Okay, and that has to do with the nailing of the aspiration, even the death of the cross, seems too. The aspiration and the flesh, okay, which is joined to it. All right, and that and because of this, wherefore, God has exalted Him above, and given Him a name, that's a title of honor, which is above every name. Okay, He's the prototype of our He's a prototype and captain of our salvation. He's leading us back into a paradise. Okay, we're following His lead back into paradise. Like the Pied Piper. Okay. That every tongue should confess. Okay, that now our confession is of this pattern. Okay, our confession is this pattern. Well, let's go back here in verse 4. Not the Hebrews, but in verse 4 here, Philippians.
Can I just ask you something? Yeah. Imagine if Jesus had been ruled by His emotions, He would never have gone to the cross. Mm-hmm. And I remember you saying years ago about faith is not emotion. You know how helpful that was? Mm-hmm. To know that in the time where you see your frailty, in the time of affliction, that you hold on to that fact that as long as you continue with the things of the covenant, you will overcome, that the Lord will sustain you with His peace and His grace. Mm-hmm. It was so helpful to know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't mean that we're an unemotional people, okay, because God even Himself, exhibits great compassion. That's an emotion. He exhibits great compassion. That's right. That's why God took a vow to Himself, see, because He knows His compassion. And His angels were also, betting on His compassion, mostly Satan. Satan was betting, putting all his chips on the compassion that God would reverse His plan. He's putting all his chips on that. And of course, God swore by Himself. He says, "I can't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't." Just like as a parent, okay, we want to show great compassion, but yet at the same time, we know we have to chasten our children. Okay, the children will protest and they'll cry. Okay, but we know by the knowledge of God that it's a necessary act. Okay, in order the chastening Okay, is the correct thinking. Okay. And it's something that we don't desire to do. We don't take pleasure in it. Of course, and this is, Paul brings the same thing out in Hebrews 2. Okay. And regarding that. But we know it's a necessary element. Okay, that's part of the growth system. That's part of the growth cycle. Okay, in that. We don't take joy in that.
But it brings great confidence if you allow it to tempt you.
Right. Right. Because a confidence and a trust is birthed out of that. They wished before it wasn't. Right. So we look not every man in his own things. This isn't verse 4 there, see? This is in Philippians 2:4. Look not every man in his own things. Okay, then it says to the welfare of others, but every man in the things of others. Okay, because Christ did the same thing. Okay, when you look to the better of others, okay, then you feel okay, and you're not working by the compassion, you're working by the power. Okay, and that's what Jesus says. Okay, if I live by my compassion, and this is what Jesus is telling his apostles, it's necessary for me to go to Jerusalem. Okay, and why do you weep? Remember he said that at Lazarus' grave? Okay, even Jesus wept at Lazarus' grave, didn't he? Okay, and he was God. Okay, and his great compassion, but also, okay, he saw the same thing. Okay, he saw the tethering of the passion. Okay, and the passions of Mary and Martha to Lazarus. Jesus also, okay, okay, felt that same compassion. Okay, but yet he stood to his vow. Okay, to the vow of his Father that was necessary for him. Okay, to delay those 4 days, right? Okay, and that by these delay of 4 days, that you see the power of God. Okay, so there was a mingling. Okay, the mingling of this commitment to his compassion. Okay, and okay, so it says, look not every man his own things, but every man also in things of others. And Paul says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The tethering of the priesthood. Who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God. Okay. And this is regarded as the manifestation of his flesh. That he was God manifest in the flesh. But made himself of no reputation, which means he did not use his presence down here for the purpose of exalting himself. Okay, he made himself of no reputation, but he took upon him the form of a servant, being a flesh form. Okay, and made a likeness of men. So, being found in fashion, man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death of the cross. Okay, nailing the aspiration, putting death the moral code. Okay, of the. Okay, of the aspiration and to the cross. Okay, we follow the same pattern.
I'm sorry, there's not this about cross-compassion.
Mm-hmm.
I see an obstacle here for people if they look at the flesh. We talk about strict parents and lenient parents. And strict parents are able to chastise kids straight away after they've done something wrong all the time. So the kids know and they're more disciplined because they know that, you know, that he has spoken. But if with a lenient parent, again, they leave them. But because of man's inability to that leniency, but if a parent is lenient, they allow everything to go. But with God giving us free will, he cannot beat us into submission all the time, like a strict parent. He does not do that. And that's what makes people think that he will give in the end. You know, because he's... in the end, when he has to make that final decision, how could he? Because he's always allowed us to not put our toys away, you know, if he said so. So when you said that Satan was betting on that, and that's why God had to vow to himself, so that when he sees that moment when he has to frown,
mm-hmm.
He will remind himself of that oath, and then he will have to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And
yeah.
That's what people, that I don't think people, that I've spoken to somebody recently, I said, God of love won't do that. Well, you won't do that. That's not how love works.
Mm-hmm.
Because a parent can forgive anything. A parent can forgive anything. And they don't understand that this is not the world of the flesh we are talking about.
That's right, right. It's not that, like what we brought earlier, God is not compassionate-less, but right. Right, Satan's putting all his chips on that one, see, on number 9. You say number 7. He's putting all the chips on that because he feels lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, he thinks he has it. He has it, the roulette table there, you know. What do you call that? Wired.
Rigged.
Rigged. right? Like you see in those movies,
yeah.
Right? You know, the con men is they go there with all confidence, you know, but they don't realize that they're being watched. Okay? The professionals are watching them all the time. There was a movie about that too. It was Ocean's 11. That was kind of an interesting movie, right? How they manipulated everything. And in fact, there was an interesting show about that too on them. I think it was Discovery Channel, or the Learning Channel. Okay, these particular people had the they could count their they were they, these particular people were able to count cards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it was against the law at first. Okay, but then as I remember that that they changed that, I think. But they were able to count cards and know exactly what were to bet.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting. These are professionals, you know, they're professionals in their field.
I'm sorry, may I just go back a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying that you said earlier that we don't have the capacity to exercise the wrath of God or the revenge,
mm-hmm.
because we don't have his insight. But I just want to testify that he's showing us in our little world already, he's showing us that because of our vow to the altar, our vow to be in covenant with him, we see these things happening, we see people around us that keep on exercising their free will and keep on despising the charity that we put there for them. And even in our little minds, we can see through truth that they are really putting it aside, and they are wasting all these opportunities of grace that are coming to them. And like you said, we are alert and aware. We can see it. This is an opportunity. This is grace. Just answer in faith. And they don't. So even in our little worlds, we can say, you know, they haven't done it. They don't use these opportunities. But because of my vow to be altar, I cannot let them through. I cannot side with them. I cannot side with them. I have to side against them. I have to stand on God's side.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
That's right. Okay. That's right. We also took a vow of faith. All right. And then he goes on right here. You see, so that we be boldly say, and we just left off of verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, and the Apostle Paul saying this out of his own experience of life, so that we may boldly say. You might want to highlight the word boldly. Okay, which has to do with great confidence. Okay, cast out of there, that's what he brings out in chapter 10. Cast not away there for your confidence. You might make a note in that. So in verse 10, verse 10:35 says, cast not away there for confidence, which has great recompense and reward. Okay, and the boldness has to do with a great confidence. Okay. Or the confidence and boldness of the altar. God's involvement, which he just promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Because we do have, in heaven, a great reward. So, and now I'm going back to chapter 10, verse 34. If you had compassion on me and my bondservant, joyfully despoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves, the power tokens, that you have in heaven a better enduring substance. Not an earthly paradise or carnal ordinances. So cast not away there for your confidence. Okay, which has to do with the sacrifices which are given to you. Okay, and we see that in verse 26 of chapter 10. Okay, chapter 10, verse 26. Verse 26, for if you sin willfully, after that you see the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Okay, so the knowledge of truth, which is given to you through the stewardship, okay, through your stewardship, is for the purpose of sacrifice for sins. Okay, don't cast away your confidence. Okay, this is so you're bold. This is so that you remain bold, okay? aggressive. Be aggressive. Cast not away your confidence. There's great recompense and reward. It's like bowling. Okay, when you're bowling, and you have to be somewhat of aggressive. You're focused. Okay, to take that plastic ball there, okay, and to you with confidence. So with practice, you gain confidence. You know exactly how to aim it. Okay, you know. How many arrows to go over? Okay, how many steps to take forward? Okay, you get confidence in your form. You get a confidence in your form. You have a knack to it. Okay, you have a confidence form. You know the weight. You know the swing. You know the force behind it. Okay, you have balance in everything that you do. Okay, so we have confidence to the altar. It's not that you're dancing to the altar. Okay, but you have confidence in the altar. Okay? It is kind of funny the way some people bowl. Okay? Everybody has their own style, but they're confident with it. Okay? You know, the twisting of the ball. Okay, some really like that. They throw it down there with great speed. And other people just kind of like roll it down there. Okay? But they still knock all the pins over, don't they? Okay? So cast not away the earth of confidence, which has great recompense and reward. God will reward you with what? The tokens he brings out in chapter 6. Okay, the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. And he'll give you grace upon grace. He's multiplying this grace to you, grace upon grace. You need the patience that after you've done the will of God at this altar, you might receive the promise as concerning the powers of this regeneration and true heritage. Okay, the great and precious promises. Okay, for yet a while, and he that shall come will come, will not tarry to reward you, to reward your faith and also increase your joy. Now the just shall live by faith. Now I'm back in verse 10 here. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, that's to deny his stewardship. Now the drawing back is to forsaking the assembly. You see that in verse 25 of chapter 10. Not forsaking the assembly yourselves together. Now if you draw back by the forsaking and or draw back, not approaching to the altar, then your boldness will dwindle. And the Lord will not, the Lord at this point, hey, how can we reward your faith? So a little while, he that shall come will not tarry. So don't draw back unto perdition, okay, but accept the knowledge, okay, attend the assembly, approach the altar, okay, and keep functioning in your priesthood. So that we may boldly say, now I'm back in chapter 13, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, okay, the helper, the paraclete. He's your paraclete. He's there. He assists. Okay. He gives you dreams. He gives you visions. Okay. He speaks to you. Okay. And we stand confidently in that light. So that maybe we'll say, the Lord is my helper. And I'll not fear what man should do unto me. Okay. The opposers of grace. Okay. The opposers of grace. I will not fear what flesh should do unto me. Those are the opposers of grace. As to plunder. Okay. Now he brought that out earlier. Okay, about that plundering. Okay, and chapter 10. Okay, so you took joyfully despoiling of your goods. Okay, and then we go to chapter 12. It's the same thing. Okay, now for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. That's in chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest you be wearied and faint. Where? Before the altar. Faint in your minds, which also has to do with your understanding begins to fade. Okay? Why are you here? Okay? What are you doing? Okay? What drew you into the covenant of grace? Okay? You don't want to faint in your understanding and ignoring your mission. Okay? If you faint in those things, then you didn't begin to wander. You wonder, you know, why? Okay? Why? Then what? Then what? What if?
Because that can happen. We saw that it can happen. You can turn away from that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's why you give all diligence. Now the Apostle Paul is writing these epistles because the people, even of that first century, okay, were also coming to the point of asking, why? What if? Okay, and I deny the sedition. Okay. They're all coming to that same same conclusion, and that's because Satan, as a roaring lion, okay, was offering the options, okay, options, the aspirations, okay, and just like in ancient times, the same thing today, okay, everyone comes to that point of asking those questions, okay, that's normal, and that's normal to ask those things, okay, but it's also prudent, okay, to continue to pursue the tokens of your priesthood, continue praying in the spirit, okay. Because it's called the fiery trial of your faith. So you have to take that shield of faith in order to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. The words of Satan's kingdom. Okay. The words of Satan's kingdom. Okay. Always stands in sympathy. Okay. Of the flesh. It always stands in sympathy of that. Okay. That's how he overthrows you. He overthrows by standing in sympathy. That you will find closure if you abandon God. Okay. You will find meaning of life. Okay, but that's a lie, because when you were in the kingdom of darkness, what is it that drew you into the kingdom of God's grace? Okay, you are observing your plight, you are observing the struggle. Okay, you saw your nakedness. Okay, and God says, "But I will clothe you. You were created for me. You're created by me and for me." But Satan was the one to take ownership. He's the thief. He wants to take ownership of your soul. Okay, he wants to dominate your thinking. Okay, he wants to continue to make promises, okay, that he will not perform. He makes a promise, but he's not interested in fulfilling your desire. Okay, he only wants to destroy you. The promise is to destroy. Okay, that's why he made promises to Adam. He was not standing in Adam's sympathy. And God was, okay, bringing this to Adam's attention, okay, upon every incident. Okay, see how much Satan loves you? Okay, all the time that you were out of the garden, did he at any time counsel you? Okay, or console you? Okay, did he do anything for you? Okay, no, he didn't do anything for you. He's not your servant. Okay, he's your master now, and he's very evil. So remember them which have the rule over you. Okay, and this is in regards concerning stewardship. So that we, verse 6 again, so that we be bold and say, the Lord is my helper, okay, our paraclete, and he will assist, and he will stand in your behalf. Okay, and I will not fear what flesh shall do unto me, the plunderers. Okay, the plunderers of the aspirations. Now remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken to you the word of God. Okay, the word rule right there also has to do with, okay, as not as these are those which direct your faith. Okay, that's what your position as an elder, to direct the faith, but not to rule the sovereignty. Okay, I'm not here to rule your sovereignty. Okay, I'm not here to counsel you in your personal matters of life. Okay, and regarding to as a tyrant. Okay, and that's what the false religious system does, because the false religious system doesn't understand the tokens of holiness. Okay, they try to, okay, tyrannize, okay, the ignorant, okay, regarding choices of life, okay, how to dress, how to look, how to act, how to speak, how to do everything. Okay, but Jesus didn't do that. The apostles do that. We don't do that. Okay, this is your life. This is between you and God. Okay, but we're here for the purpose of trying to direct you and to encourage you. Okay. Concerning what God's will is. If you want to walk in your sanctification, this is what God wants you to do. Okay? And they're always asking, what is God's will? Okay, what does God really expect out of us? Okay? Well, he expects out of us concerning humbleness of mind, okay, pureness of the conscience, pureness of heart, okay, to love him, to love our heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? So the system of the world is always in tyranny. It's always in tyranny. So that's what Paul brings out. Not that we have dominion over your faith, okay, but Paul says, but we are here as helpers of your joy, to keep you joined to him. Okay, we're here to assist you. Okay? We're here to assist you. That's all. That's the same thing you're calling. You're calling to assist. Okay, as apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, okay, your presence is only to assist, not to dominate. Okay, not to dominate, but to assist. So remember then what you have the rule over you. Okay, and he says here, and in fact, he'll bring it out again here in verse 16. And yeah, these are verse 16, or 17. In verse 17. Remember then which had the rule over you, verse 7. 7 and 17. Yeah, that's an easy way to remember it. Remember then which had the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, okay, who has given unto you the understanding of the revelations of the Spirit, okay, whose faith follow. Okay, that which you have received. Okay, and when he says follow, okay, walk in the same prophetic path. You just walk in the same that same prophetic path. The path is there for you to walk on also. Okay, okay, the it's like a public sidewalk. Okay, the public sidewalk was put there for a purpose. Okay, to walk on. Okay, and the prophetic path was put there for a purpose for you to also walk on. Okay, and that's what we're doing. We're joining each other in that same path. Whose faith follow? Considering the end of their conversation, okay, as concerning beholding the face of Christ, the end of their conversation has to do the lifestyle, okay, the lifestyle, not just the manner of not talking. It's just not the manner of talking, but it's the whole lifestyle. Okay, the lifestyle is this: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, which is our eternal oath and the proxy. Okay, our eternal oath and proxy, Jesus Christ. Being our eternal oath and our proxy, seen in all the elders. Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Now we just read that in chapter 11. That was yesterday. Okay. And what about yesterday? Well, yesterday we can see about Rahab the harlot, or we can see about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, all the prophets. What about yesterday? Jesus Christ saying yesterday as concerning... We go back here. concerning Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Okay, Jacob, Joseph, okay, Moses. Okay, look at all these are the elders. The same, the face of Christ was seen in all these people, which was in their faith. Okay, their faith. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, as Paul's writing this, and forever. Okay, seen in every stewardship. Okay, seen in the face of all those that believe. Okay, okay, that's our boldness. Christ is our boldness. And now Paul gives brings to the attention of the saints here the contradiction, which he brings out earlier. The contradiction. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Okay, carried about, carried about, okay, which also has to do how the ark went about in the temple. Remember, it was carried about. Okay, don't be carried about as the ark was. Okay, that's carnal things. Okay, the things of this world. Okay, don't be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, which has to do with the carnal things of Moses. Okay, the carnal things carried about. That's what the Ark of the Covenant was. Okay, it did not have a place of rest. Okay, you will not find a place of rest with that. Okay, the place of rest is in Christ only. So not to be swept about with these carnal things. Okay, always be holding the face of Christ. Okay, and keeping your conversation honest. Okay, so be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, these teachings. This is better. The best thing is this, the spiritual things, to covet after spiritual things. For it is good that the heart be established with what? Grace. Okay? So Paul simplifies it and brings it down to its lowest denominator, grace. It always comes right down to that, okay, grace. Okay, and not with these things. Don't be carried about with the ark or the table of showbread, okay, or with the altar, or with the altar of Moses. Not with meats. Not with meats, okay, which have not profited them. Not with meats. Okay, not with the carnal things. Not with the carnal tokens. Not with meats which have not profited them, the Levites, that have been occupied to that altar, that have been occupied therein, to the altar, to offer those things in a physical altar, see? Not with those meats. We have an altar, the true one, verse 10, the true altar, not the earthbound, but the heavenbound altar. We have an altar whereof they, okay, the Levites which carry the ark from place to place, okay, and perform the task of physical sacrifices, okay, the beasts which cannot purge the conscience, which he brings out earlier, okay, for those beasts which he offered daily continually, cannot what? Purge the conscience, right? Verse conscious. He brings that out in chapter 9. We have an altar, and our altar is Christ, whereof they, the Levites, have no right to eat the carnal things. And those which eat the carnal, those partake of the Sabbath day, the physical communion, the physical baptisms, the physical circumcisions, the physical Sabbath day, cannot have no, they have no right to the altar of Christ. They cannot approach it. Okay? That's why the church is in such darkness. It's because they denied themselves the right to touch the altar. Okay? When you eat the physical things, you're not touching the spiritual things. Okay? So then if you're eating the physical things, you're being carried about, and you're not beholding the face of Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? The same yesterday, today, and forever, which means, can't you see the pattern of the divine spirit? Okay? Ever since it was spoken in the garden, the divine spirit is the pattern which we're following. Okay? The prophetic path. Okay? That's what we're following. Okay? But they followed the earthly things. So that by following the earthly things, they were in bondage and they were destroyed, weren't they?
They want the physical presence of physical tokens. Mm-hmm. And that's why they've been carried to wherever that physical token is. That's where they will be, and that's where they're.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what happens when you carry physical things? They're looking for earthly paradises, mm-hmm. Earthly paradise. See, and that's why Paul talks about when Abraham. Now remember Abraham in verse chapter 11, for he looked for a city, verse 10, for he, Abraham, he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder maker is God, the Spirit. Okay, but those which use earthly things, he looked for earthly paradise. And when you look for earthly paradise, you involve yourself with the issues of this world. Okay, when you involve yourself with the issues of the world, okay, and then you'll be also ensnared by them. That's where Satan will rule you. Satan will rule you through earthly things. Okay. And that's like those in the States there, okay, they're trying to bring about a national Christianity, Okay, and I remember 1960s. In the 60s, I think it was Goldwater, okay, or Kennedy or Nixon. Okay, says, yeah, this is a Christian nation. In other words, they were claiming the nation of the United States, okay, a Christian nation. Okay, and while they got a lot of debate on that, okay, but they were claiming it for themselves. When they did that, okay, immediately Bible was taken out. The Bible and the Ten Commandments were taken out of schools. Okay, can you believe this? Okay, everything went in reverse. Okay, I remember that. I remember the day when the principal came into the classroom, okay, because the teacher would open class with prayer. Okay, she was a Baptist. She opened a class in prayer, and the principal came in there and she says, and they fired her. Okay, I also remember, okay, when I was in seventh grade, one of the students, which was one of my friends, okay, was carrying his Bible to school. And the teacher said, reproached him on it, says, you cannot bring that in the classroom at that time. Okay. Christian nation, huh? Right. Okay. You can see how the imagination works, okay, with earthly things. Okay, they were trying to bring about paradise on earth. Now, that's what the beast is going to promise. The beast of Revelation chapter 13. I will promise you, okay, a religious paradise on earth, and he's going to give them the false millennium. Okay, a false money, a false peace and security. Okay? So our altar is in heaven. Okay, and if your altar is in heaven, then you're going to escape the turmoil down here. But if your altar is down here, then you have to live by the sword. And that's why Jesus told Peter, "Put her away, Peter, because my kingdom is not of this world." Remember, Jesus said the same thing. That was his testimony before Pilate. Remember, my kingdom is not of this world. I told you, I'm a king. Yes, I am a king. But my kingdom is not this world. My kingdom is not flesh. My kingdom is not flesh. My kingdom is spirit. Okay? That's why Jesus kept saying, "Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Behold, my kingdom of God is within you." Okay? But my kingdom is not of this world. It's invisible. Okay? So is our altar. Our altar is invisible and our altar is above. Okay? We have an altar whereof they, the Levites, had no right to eat, which served the tabernacle of Moses. Okay? For the bodies of those beasts, okay, which means that there's even the signature of death. That's why they used the beast of the first covenant, which was revealing, see, the brutal nature of man. Now, man's nature is very brutal, okay, and war, okay, is the epitome of that bruteness. Okay, war, okay, where they make things that tear apart flesh. Okay, they make things that tear apart flesh, bombs. Okay, they tear apart flesh. Okay, war is the epitome of the beastly nature of man, just as much as a lion, okay, would rend apart its prey, okay, a victim of prey. That's the nature of Adam. That's the nature of sin. Okay, it wants to destroy. Okay. For the bodies of those beasts, which has to do with the signature of death, whose blood is brought to the sanctuary, okay, to show the brutality of that nature, okay, by the high priest for sin, okay, are burned without the camp. So he says they were removed from the altar, okay, and taken outside the camp, okay, which the Spirit was showing a distinction of separation for perfection. Okay, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. Okay, that's what the prophet said. I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. I'm going to give you the oil of joy for mourning, and I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So here the Spirit was already making distinctions between that which is earthbound concerning the ashes, the mourning, and heaviness, to that which is the beauty, the joy, okay, and gladness. You see the distinction there. The altar of heaven is the beauty, the joy, and the gladness. The altar of the earth is ashes, okay, sorrow, okay, loss, everything. Okay, that's the state of the soul. The state of the soul with the flesh is always going to experience loss, nakedness, okay, vulnerability. Okay. Okay, they're burned without the camp. Okay. Verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, as an example, that he might sanctify the people with what? His own blood. Okay? And the sanctification has to do with the tokens. He suffered without the gate. Okay? He was removed to the west side of the city. Okay? He was condemned, okay, by the high priests, okay, in the Sanhedrin. Okay? And he was condemned there and died on the west side. Okay? So you see what happens here? Okay? That was ashes and death and sorrow. Okay? But where did he rise from the dead? okay, on the east side, okay, or the east side, or ascended up in heaven from Mount of Olives, right? Okay, so you can see the comparison of that. Okay, suffering to west, resurrection to the east. Okay, and we see the same thing in the arrangement of the tokens in the cave of Adam. Okay, the same thing in the tokens in the cave of Adam. Okay, which has to do with the suffering of death to the resurrection of your victory. Okay, suffering, and so he suffered without the gate. Let us go forth. We're following the same path. We're following the same pattern. We're experiencing the same thing, same sufferings. Okay, we're experiencing the same sufferings of Christ. Crucifying the aspiration. Okay, crucifying the principle. So let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Okay, and the camp was through the place of uncleanness, even where the lepers are. Okay, bearing his reproach, being the scorn of society. That's where he's crucified. Okay, the scorn of society, that's where the criminals were crucified. They were the scorn of society. And that's exactly what the sinners look at us as, criminals. Mm-hmm. Sinners look at Christians as the intolerant ones. Okay? That's the way it goes. Okay? You're in association of that. Satan looks at us as the criminal, but he's the criminal. Okay? Sinners look at the Christians as a criminal, okay? But we're the righteous. We're bearing his reproach now. Okay, that's part of your persecution, is that they look at us as the intolerant ones. Okay, we are. We are intolerable of sin. Okay, because we were in that kingdom when we saw what it did. Okay, it's like people that have particular bad habits. Okay, people that have, you know, misusing drugs. Okay, at one time, people looked at it as more or less intolerable, but now we're looking at it as more or less more like a socially acceptable. You know, see how society changes on those things, right? Society is very fickle. They'll stand 1 minute to be your friend, next minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But we've seen the track record of that kingdom, and mm-hmm. it's 100% right. Mm-hmm. Every time the same.
Right. That's a track record. Right. Right. Judas Iscariot, one moment kissed Jesus, next minute betrayed him. Okay, for here we have no continuing city. And this is the Abrahamic perspective. I like that one. This is the Abrahamic perspective. We have no city down here. Okay, if we have no city down here, then why is it that you're so aggressive to establish your presence down here with a memorial? Okay, the flesh wants to establish a memorial to themselves. Okay, that they want to find reason to live. They want to find reason to suffer. Okay, so they want to establish a testimony of the presence down here. So when you're finally put into the ground, the wicked will speak good things over you, saying, "This person, sacrificed, their time, their life for their career." And they'll speak well over you. And that brings up in the Book of Enoch, they'll say the same thing. See, Enoch saw the same thing. Okay, and they'll speak well over you. Okay, because of you followed their path. Okay, you pursued the aspiration. Okay, you're a good man.
And with God, there's no such thing because we're only following one record. So if we feel at a point, I felt that in the beginning. Maybe some of you as well. There was a time when we followed you, in the beginning, literally, and then we had that awareness of, oh, this is something I realized, but it wasn't in contrast to your revelation. It wasn't contradicting that. It was just God working with us in a way, but it confirmed the same record, and that's why there was never conflict. There's no breaking away of nobody because it's the very same record. It's
right.
Just an opening.
Same vine.
Same, exactly, Whereas this seems to be completely opposite. You pour all your aspiration into that person, and then he leaves you at the point of when you need him most.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, Jesus said the same thing about the benefactors. He says, that my kingdom is not ran as those of the Gentiles. Okay, when the Gentiles rule, okay, because it's by the aspiration, you see, people only join themselves for the purpose of that goal, like it was in a movie. Okay, but this is not my kingdom. My kingdom's not like that. Okay, because when you're joined to me, you're joined to me forever. Okay, it's concerning fellowship, okay, kinship, relationship. Okay, it's an eternal thing. Okay, it's nothing that's of a temporal nature. Okay, to the Gentiles is temporal, but the kingdom of God is eternal. Okay. We see each other here, we'll see each other also for eternity. Okay, that's a long time. Okay. So it's an eternal joining. Okay. You just can't, you're not grafted in the vine for a while and then just snip yourself off and drag yourself over to the pine tree. Something like that.
Yeah, and you never grafted in the vine for your own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a self-promotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the benefit of the whole, and it's for his kingdom, to build his kingdom and not our own.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. Well, in verse 14, we go on here. For here, just on this earth, for here, on this earth now, we have no continuing city. Okay. Jerusalem, at this point, he was identifying Jerusalem as the it was supposed to be the eternal city, but it's the Holy City, New Jerusalem, that's the eternal city, okay, not the Jerusalem, which is in the Middle East right now. The Jerusalem, which is in the Middle East right now, of course, it has been destroyed numerous times. Okay, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's what Abraham saw. Okay, Abraham looked through the telescope of the future, okay, and he says as he was looking through the telescope of the future, he saw the land of Canaan being overran by the hordes of the Gentiles. Okay, the separation, the scattering of the people. Okay, constant war, changes in oppression. That's what he saw. And then as he kept looking further and further and further around, he says, every time I was looking at the, and when I looked down, I saw changes. But when I looked up, nothing changed. Okay? So he looked for the eternal city. That's what we do. We look for the eternal city. Nothing's going to change. Your address in the eternal city will never change. You never have to move out of that flat. Okay? The rent, there's no rent. It's given to you as a gift. Okay? There's no rent there. Okay? So you don't have to pay any bills. You own it. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now by him, therefore, is a point of contact, okay, which are showing brotherly love, and we're living within that fire. By him, therefore, let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually. What kind of sacrifice are we offering here? Sacrifice of praise. Okay, we're not our praise of God is not the wheat of the field, okay, but it's the bread of heaven. Our praise of God is the bread of heaven. Okay, it's in its perfect form. So by him, therefore, let us offer sacrifice, not the temporal, the eternal. Sacrifice of praise to God continually. And where is this praise coming from? That is the fruit of our lips, which is our charity. Okay, so I draw a line from the word lips there to the word love up there in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Okay, that is the fruit of our lips. Okay, giving thanks to his name. Okay, so you highlight the word lips there. Okay, and verse 15, and draw a line from verse 15 to brotherly love there in verse 1. That is the fruit of our lips. Okay, so he says the word praise, and he says fruit. Okay, praise and fruit. So there's a virtue being birthed through this process. Okay, about the process of our worship. Okay, so praise is the value of this whole thing. Okay, which is the highest form. Okay, that of the spirit is higher than that of the letter. Okay, so it's called the praise. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. Okay. That is the fruit of our lips, charity, and by this giving thanks to his name, the new kingdom. This is our reciprocation of love. A reciprocation of love is by which we are saved. That if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you should be saved. That's what Paul said to the Romans, but he's saying to Christians. Okay, he wasn't saying it to the unsaved, he was saying it to Christians. Okay. That by this form of reciprocation, okay, God is healing your soul. Okay, the conscience remains pure. You may feel conflict within the soul, okay, but the conscience still remains pure. Okay? And so Paul said the same thing, without were fightings within were fears. Okay, without were fightings within were fears. So though you feel the struggle within the soul, yeah, the conscience remains pure. Because there's healing. The affliction is there. Okay, the affliction is there. But to do good, verse 16. To do good in your confirmation, your conversation, all right, your equity, but to do good and to communicate, okay, what you're doing right here in the assembly, okay, which he brings out earlier in chapter 10, not to forsake the assembly, okay, we're to draw near with a true heart, okay, it says, but to do good, chapter 13, verse 16, but to do good goes right along with what he says right here in chapter 10. Okay, to draw near. Okay, and having a high priest of the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, that's the altar we're approaching to. Okay, let us hold fast for confession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful to that promise. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. Okay? So this is, he repeating himself in chapter 13, verse 16. Okay? But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Okay? Don't lose sight and don't faint. Okay? Don't faint not when you rebuke the Lord. And that's what he says over there, don't faint. Okay? He brings that out earlier. Lest you faint in your minds. You should be weary to the altar and faint in your mind and your understanding. Okay? The fainting in your mind is seen if you're departed from the altar and unsevered from stewardship. Okay, you begin to faint in your mind, and your whole perspective of Christianity begins to change. Okay, it begins to change. Even the knowledge of these tokens, of the principal things, okay, begins to change. Your knowledge changes in that. That shows the shadow of darkness changing your perception again.
And you see that with people that get distracted and move out of covenant.
Mm-hmm.
They look back and you can see them wondering what that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
They were so illuminated at one stage, and so the eyes and the understanding were opened, and now they can't see anymore what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because that seducing spirit or doctrine of the devil, because it comes to doctrine of the devil, the seducing spirit making the impact, and Satan begin that now taking your perception. Okay, you lose sight. Okay, you lose sight. You know, it's a great evil, but there's nothing you can do about it. You can't do anything about it other than just keep yourself pure. I mean, not to be contaminated, not to touch the unclean thing. That's the only way to do it. Okay, it comes down to survival, I mean yourself. Yeah, man.
Because every man bears his own burden.
That's right. Good. That's right. Exactly what Paul said. We bear one another's infirmities through prayer, but yet we also bear our own burden. Okay.
It's all about choices.
Right. Okay, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For what such sacrifices, I like the word sacrifice here again. Okay, in verse 16, you draw a line from word sacrifice in verse 16 to word sacrifice in verse 15, because we're loving God and loving the universe ourselves. Okay, but for such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Okay, we love that because okay, we're meeting his expectation and we have his peace. Okay. Even though the situation, what's interesting about it is that the situation is concerning as an example, okay, you're in your flat, okay, you're in your flat. The situation really is not the situation, okay, the physical, okay, but it's the mental conflict. Okay, it's the mental conflict. It's really here in the soul. Okay, it's all there. Okay, it's like if you remove yourself, okay, from one environment into another environment, the environment, okay, the environment itself, okay, is really, in a sense, it's not really the afflictor, okay, it has to do with our perception within it. Okay, that begins to afflict because you have to re-educate yourself to the environment. Okay, it's like going from one classroom to another classroom. I mean, when you're in school, okay, did you ever have a changing, when you went from one class to another class, okay, did you have a changing of students in there? Okay, we had changing of students a lot of times. Okay, like if you took a geometry or algebra, okay, and biology, okay, there are students that take similar classes, okay, but yet they might take English lit, okay, and music, right? So the only time you would see them would be in one particular class, okay, but the next class you wouldn't see them. I don't know if you did you have that?
Yeah.
Or you stayed together all one thing?
Mostly, apart from one or two subjects, yeah.
Okay, but anyway, when you go there, you have to reorient yourself. Where you sit, who you see, and what you're listening to. Mm-hmm. It's constant reorienting. Okay, but that's part of your training, because they know, okay, that when you leave this environment of learning, that the real world is like that too, changing.
Mm-hmm.
And when it changes, you have to change with it. Okay? It changes, your perspective has to change. You know, from the innocent plowboy, okay, to the high street or to the high rise suite of your Manhattan Island, okay, there's a changing of perceptions. Okay, that's where the struggle is. Okay, the soil isn't really afflicting you. Okay, neither is the high rise building, unless you're afraid of heights. Okay, in essence, unless the high rise building. Okay, that didn't change. This did. Okay, in the heart. Okay, because your perception changes when you're going from one environment to next environment, from one environment to next environment. Okay, that's where the challenges are at. Okay, in there. Okay, unless you're being parachuted into a very hostile battle zone, that's another subject in itself. But anyway. Okay, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. This is what we're doing in exchanging of charity. For such sacrifices, God is well pleased, because we're showing our love towards God by loving our neighbor as ourselves. Okay, that's the litmus test. The litmus test, okay, concerning the consistency of your faith, okay, is always shown in the face of one another. Shown in the face of one another. If you love your brother, then you love God. Okay, but if you don't love God, you're not going to love your brother. That means you're always going to stand in conflict. Okay, stand in conflict. Charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Obey them that have the rule over you. That's the 17. In verse 17, and from 7 to 17, they're very similar. Remember them which have the rule over you in verse 7. Obey them that have the rule over you. Okay, that's stewardship again. Okay, but again, the stewardship is not despotism. Okay, tyranny. It's not that. Okay, it's not the pulpit type of oppression. The pulpit oppression. Okay, which I witnessed that myself, you know, when I was going to the church. It's the pulpit oppression. Okay, everything centered upon the pastor's aspirations. Yeah. It did. The building program and all that is if it was a presbytery. It depends upon what kind of government you're in. Okay? But usually it's the pastor rules. Okay, but the pastor rules the pulpit, but the elders rule the wages. Okay, how much the pastor gets. So they try to keep an equity there, aren't they? And it says, you teach us what we want, we'll give you the money. Okay, kind of like things. But if we don't like you, we will hold the wages, you're out, kind of like thing. Yeah, that's like a presbytery ruled type of church.
Watch the time.
Yeah.
Paid, you watch the time.
All right, in the pulpit, you're on our clock here. Okay, so obey them that have the rule over you. Okay, that is all we're doing is we're overseeing your spiritual growth. Okay, the teacher oversees the instruction of the saints, as well as also the pastor oversees the their consistencies. As the deacons oversee also oversee the things and needs of the people, as the bishop also oversees the consistencies of the operations. Okay, as Paul brings out, the assemblies. Okay, the bishop goes to the local assembly, for the purpose of also assisting. Not to rule, but to assist. Okay? And that's what the bishop does. And the bishop, of that particular one region, reports to the apostles, the chief apostle. Okay, it's really simple. Okay, whereas there's no manipulation in there, the aspiration. It should be free from that. Okay, in the false religious system, no. Okay, then the accountability system is on a different level. Okay, different level completely. Got some good notes on that last night. On that. Obey them that have the rule over you, verse 17. Okay, and submit yourselves to build. Okay, for the apostles, the elders, they watch for your souls. Okay, as they that must give an account to him, as they that must give an account, they may do it with joy, not with grief. Of course, we do it with give an account to God, for that is unprofitable for you. Okay, because where there's grief. Okay, and then there's also the conflict. Okay, the conflict there. Okay, as also you experience in your own, as an elder, you'll experience the same thing. Okay, there are those, which are which grow fast and build, okay, and then there's those which are very slow and weak, which Paul brings out. Okay. Remember, he's out in Galatians there. You want to get that thought?
No, I just wanted to add the 1 Peter there. But you first, just 1 Peter there where he says, feed the flock, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. I was just thinking of this remit and return again that we spoke about. Mm-hmm. Is this not what it is, watching over the souls by remitting and retaining?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, he says the same thing. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he will just spiritually restore. Okay. I was talking about the elders. Okay, restore how? By again, assisting them to the altar. Such a one of spirit meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Okay, bury one of those burdens, so fulfill the Lord Christ. But then he goes on right here. For if any man think himself to be something who is nothing, he deceives himself. But every man shall approve his own work, then shall he have rejoicing himself alone, not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Okay. Lord, but let every man be that is taught in the word to communicate in him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for as a man sows, that shall he also reap. Okay. All right, now we go back over here. Okay, so those that are weak, I see those that are weak is one thing. Okay, but as those that are stubborn, okay, they're combative, because they're being young Christians particularly, okay, they're rather combative because that's why he calls them little children. Okay, they're little children because they're struggling with the state of the conscience. Okay, they're trying to resolve the state of the conscience with carnal things. Okay, and as an elder, you teach them and says, no, we can't resolve the state of conscience with carnal things. It takes faith, stay in the covenant, use the tools. Okay, okay. That, I mean, that's the simplest way to say it. Okay, okay. And they have a lot of questions. They ask in regarding their dreams. Okay, or how God might communicate and the struggles of their own conscience. They have that's the area there. Okay, but once they understand the state of the conscience, then they progress. They start moving fast.
And one's called it the spirit of competitiveness.
That too. Mm. Right. And they want you to resolve the moral code. And we keep saying, it says, no, it's not. The resolve never will be there. Okay, it's only going to be in the state of the conscience. Okay, but the power of God, okay, will put the aspiration to death. Okay, and then at that point it's resolved. Okay. But they want to resolve it with their logic. Okay, and that's where they stumble, the logic. Okay. They're saying, but what if this, and what if that, and what about this, and how I feel about this? Okay, well, what are you communicating to me? You're communicating to me your logic. Okay, and you're never going to resolve it that way. Okay, it's in the conscience. Okay, faith in the heart. Okay, faith, okay, will overcome this. Okay, the fourth thing, faith will overcome that, and then these things begin to set in order. Okay, because by faith we're justified. Okay, so we're washed, sanctified, justified. The state of the conscience. Okay, is this speaks of this condition. Okay, because that speaks of this condition. That speaks of this condition. Okay, the state of conscience.
Apostle, can we see this if we look at a man? Can we? How can we see this without, you know, if he starts testifying about he has to do this to overcome, or he has to do this to please God? That's easy now. But because I was just writing here, a pure conscience, I mean, you spoke about, though we feel the struggle in the face, the conscience remains pure. Mm-hmm. A pure conscience is more than just not feeling guilty or feeling condemned, or I shouldn't have, I should have, that thing. A pure conscience, I wrote here, is having no sedition, no double-mindedness, no doubt, having no offense towards God and man.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than just having peace about a situation, getting it go, letting God. So I was just wondering when you said that now, how do we discern if a person is sitting there and
no, it's what they're using for justification. Okay, what are they using for justification? If they use that for justification, then what is it? It's a defiled conscience. Okay, but if they use this for the justification, that's a pure conscience.
Because what do you know?
It's association, huh?
In the latest Joy magazine, they talk about the tithing opening up all these blessings of God for us. But if you would ask them, they wouldn't say this is my justification. They would say, this is my justification.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you can see that, we can see that struggle. I don't know how to put in words. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know how to put it in words. They testify of this. Yes, Christ is everything. He's my righteousness.
This is what they read in the Bible.
Yes.
But this is what they're living.
This is what they're living, yes.
Right. And this is what they can't figure this out. It says, they read in the Bible this, but they're living this.
Okay.
So this is where the confusion lies here. He says that Paul says here we're overcoming, but why is it that I'm so weak, you know, and I'm having all these confusing things, and why is it that, you know, this is where the problem is at, right in the moral code, right? But this is what you're discerning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Jesus saw the same thing. He says you're of your father the devil. Well, he knew where they're coming from.
You see that spirit behind that. You mm-hmm. see the face of Satan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. That's the face of Satan, right? Yeah, right. The big boast.
I know that. This is only possible within the boundaries of the second covenant.
Yeah, this here.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Right.
Neither out there that cannot have a pure conscience.
That's right. This right here is only going to be ink on paper in the Bible, okay, until you come in covenant. When you come in covenant, this becomes your reality.
Yes.
Right here. Right. But this is so confusing. The Baptist reads it. The Baptist reads this. And it says, this is what we should be, but this is what we are. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace, you know, and they're always constantly struggling with this.
Yeah.
That's why they're so worldly.
Yeah.
I'm only human.
Right.
Another one that you hear about.
And when you said about the earthly, that verse that speaks about the earthly, for we have no continuing city, you said that, you know, if they're looking for that, because they're saying this, and they're living that,
mm-hmm.
and they're chasing that earthly country
mm-hmm.
through the prosperity and all, it's very, very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very, very subtle. But you can see when you said that, I realized they are building memorials here. They want to put down something here as if God is going to, you know, say, I'm putting these people aside because they've really become the lines of my kingdom now. That they really lived what I made them to be. They just fulfilling signature.
Mm-hmm.
But they, as if they're professing that this prosperity that we live in, which they say it's only Christ, but you can see that,
mm-hmm.
and they're chasing this earthly memorials. They want to live out the reigning here.
Mm-hmm.
But they talk of this. This is what they talk all the time.
Mm-hmm. Some of the, I was going to say, some of the places where you can see the evidence of them justifying that in the flesh is in the conversation of what they're still struggling with. So if they have conversations about how to be vulnerable with one another, how you need to be naked before one another and transparent, okay, that's because they're still dealing with a defiled conscience. They want a means to be transparent
mm-hmm.
with another. They want to
well,
find a way.
They're putting their transparency here.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's supposed to be here.
Yeah.
They're putting it right
oh,
here.
Yeah. It's like that article in the Vision magazine where he says we have to be naked before
mm-hmm.
God, before we can be intimate
mm-hmm.
with him. You've got
right.
to be naked.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you can be
right.
intimate.
And that's why it says, see, God loves me as I am. But this
see
is what,
how they're, what they're walking.
Yeah, this is their transparency. And so
mm-hmm.
all their counsel centers around the problem. This is their struggle. And they want to be transparent here. But this is where you're supposed to be pure, right here.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're trying to make themselves accountable to one another,
right?
In order to govern that, mm-hmm.
right? So this guy is working with another guy of similar nature, and by working together, they're trying to resolve these little issues right here. And he says, "Okay, you come to me when you have a problem here. You come to me when you have a problem here. You come to me when you have a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and vice versa. We'll help out each other here, and so their whole council centers upon trying to bring equity." Okay, like I said, they're calling this transparency. No, that's called iniquity. Okay, your transparency would be, of course, this is where your baptism is, right here in the conscience.
So there's another place of discernment. What
mm-hmm.
law is governing them? It's
mm-hmm.
the law of the moral code that's still governing them.
Mm-hmm.
They're claiming Christ in the tithe, and they're claiming Christ in their doctrine and in their walk.
Mm-hmm.
But what's governing them? The moral code.
Is that it becomes more subtle to me. It's as if it's becoming more subtle. That line is very, very fine. They seem to cloak it very well into
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, in my spirit, I feel that. And I didn't know how to put it,
mm-hmm.
but thank you very much. It's very
mm-hmm.
helpful.
Yeah,
helpful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it goes back to here. He talks about government, truth, and spirit. Obey them that have the rule over you. Okay, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Okay, and regarding the fellowship. Pray for us, Paul says. For we trust we have a good conscience. There it is again. Okay, the grief has to be the absence of that. Okay, but the good conscience, of course, is going to remove the grief, the barrier, okay, the struggle. Pray for us, verse 18. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, these tools, willing to live honestly. Okay, not only side of God, but also man. Okay, not to plunder. Okay, but I beseech you to rather do this than I may be restored to you the sooner when I come there. Now the God of peace. Okay, and which he brings out earlier, follow peace in verse 14. That's of chapter 12. Follow peace with all men in holiness. And this is what we're doing here. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus as our prototype, standard, example. Okay, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Here's the word covenant. Make you perfect. Right? That's again the state of conscience. Being perfect in holiness. May make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Okay, there's your tether, to whom be glory and glory forever and ever, amen. And that's the substance, the tether and the substance. Okay, at the altar, you're fed. At the altar, okay, the soul is being fed. You're getting substance and heart. I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. Okay, that's the knowledge, and that's what we're doing here. Okay, we're giving the word of exhortation. For I have written a letter unto you in few words, three doxologies, as we talk about. For I have written a letter unto you in a few words, this is for your doxology. Okay. Know you that our brother Timothy is set liberty. When he comes shortly, I will see you. Okay. That is because of your sacrifices. A prayer. He talks about prayer and sacrifice. Those two things, prayer and sacrifice. All right. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and that is the elders, okay, and all the saints. Okay. You got the elders and the saints there, and they have Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all. Amen.